Please turn now in your Bibles with me to Matthew's Gospel, again, this time chapter 6. Especially be looking at verses 9 through 13. Let's hear God's Word with beginning the reading at verse 1. This is Jesus speaking. Take heed that you do not do your charitable deeds before men to be seen by them. Otherwise you have no reward from your Father in heaven. Therefore, when you do a charitable deed, do not sound a trumpet before you, as the hypocrites do in the synagogues and in the streets, that they may have glory from men. Assuredly, I say to you, they have their reward. But when you do a charitable deed, do not let your left hand know what your right hand is doing, that your charitable deed may be in secret, and your Father who sees in secret will himself reward you openly. And when you pray, you shall not be like the hypocrites, for they love to pray standing in the synagogues and on the corners of the streets, that they may be seen by men. Assuredly, I say to you, they have their reward. But you, when you pray, go into your room, and when you have shut your door, pray to your Father who is in the secret place, and your Father who sees in secret will reward you openly. And when you pray, do not use vain repetitions as the heathen do, for they think that they will be heard for their many words. Therefore, do not be like them, for your Father knows the things that you have need of before you ask him. Our text. In this manner, therefore, pray, Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And do not lead us into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. For yours is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. Now the rest of the chapter. For if you forgive men their trespasses, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you do not forgive men their trespasses, neither will your Father forgive your trespasses. Moreover, when you fast, do not be like the hypocrites with a sad countenance. For they disfigure their faces that they may appear to men to be fasting. Assuredly, I say to you, they have their reward. But you, when you fast, anoint your head and wash your face, so that you do not appear to men to be fasting, but to your Father who is in the secret place. And your Father, who sees in secret, will reward you openly. Do not lay up for yourselves treasures on earth, where moth and rust destroy, and where thieves break in and steal. But lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust destroys, and where thieves do not break in and steal. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. The lamp of the body is the eye. If therefore your eye is good, your whole body will be full of light. But if your eye is bad, your whole body will be full of darkness. If therefore the light that is in you is darkness, how great is that darkness? No one can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or he will be loyal to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and mammon. Therefore I say to you, do not worry about your life, what you will eat or what you will drink, nor about your body, what you will put on. Is not life more than food and the body more than clothing? Look at the birds of the air, for they neither sow nor reap nor gather into barns, yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not of more value than they? Which of you by worrying can add one cubit to his stature? So why do you worry about clothing? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They neither toil nor spin, and yet I say to you that even Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these. Now, if God so clothes the grass of the field, which today is and tomorrow is thrown into the oven, will he not much more clothe you, O you of little faith? Therefore, do not worry, saying, What shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or what shall we wear? For after all these things the Gentiles seek. For your heavenly Father knows that you need all these things. But seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added to you. Therefore, do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about its own things. Sufficient for the day is its own trouble. And God bless the reading, hearing, and preaching of his word. Those of you who are normally here, remember a while back. We were going through, as we started at Matthew chapter 1, verse 1, and now we're up into Matthew 18, next week, God willing, verse 15. As we went through chapters 5, 6, and 7, the Sermon on the Mount, and as we got in particular to verses 9 through 13, do you remember that I said, we're going to skip these for now, because when we come to them in the catechism, we'll deal with them then. Well, then is now. Now, most of us have not learned the Lord's Prayer in the New King James Version, or in the NIV version, or whatever other version. Most all of us have learned it as it is in the King James Version. And maybe you've taught it to the children. Children, I hope you have been taught and have learned this prayer. You should know it off by heart. Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. And forgive us our debts, for we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. So that's how I learned it. That's probably how you have learned it. And that is the form in which our catechism has it, in the King James form that is in questions, basically here, 99 through 107. So the next few times we have these catechism sermons, we'll be dealing with the Lord's Prayer. Now then, Catechism question 99 asks, what rule hath God given for our direction in prayer? The Westminster Assembly, looking at 1 John 5:14, the text we have right now here, and Luke 11, verses 2 through 4, said, the whole Word of God is of use to direct us in prayer. But the special rule of direction is that form of prayer which Christ taught his disciples, commonly called the Lord's Prayer. Okay, I've called this the model. And most of us know what a model is. Now, it used to be, I don't know if this is so popular nowadays, it used to be popular, especially for boys, to make plastic or other kinds of models. And they would be glued together, or if you were just starting at it and you were a pretty small boy, it would snap together. And as you got better at it, maybe you did some painting on it and that sort of thing. You did model cars or model planes. Some boys would do model ships or tanks. And as they got older, maybe they enjoyed doing more difficult models that were made of things like wood. And so you would have model ships that you would make and do all the rigging on them. Or you would do model airplanes that could and did fly. Drones are popular now, but airplanes that would be tethered by the owner and would fly around, or even ones that were run by radio control, they were, and still for many people are, very popular. Even today, people who design buildings, people who design other things, make models of the projects they're going to have. So for example, children, my father designed buildings, not like an architect so that they would look artistic and look good, but he was what was called a structural engineer. He designed buildings, the frames of them and how they would work and that sort of thing. And the company that he worked for not only had other structural engineers like him, but had all kinds of other sorts of engineers for building buildings and dams and highways and schools and all kinds of things. And they had at their office a model shop. I can remember, kids, as a small boy myself, going to my dad's office and dad taking me to the model shop of a big oil refinery that they were making. Not we, I had nothing to do with it, but that they were making. And it showed all the different pipelines and all this that were made by the model makers, so that the engineers didn't just understand the portion that they were working on, but they understood and could see in a little miniature form exactly how their work was interacting with other work done by other engineers, so that the whole project was in front of them. Now, we sometimes have models ourselves that show us how to do something. We sometimes need these models, and certainly we need a model for prayer. Why is that? Well, first of all, left to ourselves, without the grace of God, we don't know how to pray. There are many ways that the heathens try to pray, but these are not true prayer. The heathens will do things that Jesus has said here not to do. For example, in verse 7, Jesus says, "When you pray, do not use vain repetitions as the heathen do, for they think that they will be heard for their many words. Therefore, do not be like them." There are some religions that they just multiply prayers and they say the same thing over again. Or they will use a machine to do their prayers for them. A machine that maybe works by water power, or that works by wind power, or something of the sort. Or works mechanically. That seems weird to think of a prayer that way. But that is what they do. Or even those who use their own voices, they don't really mean them. They just say their prayers and say and say and say them over again, but it's not from the heart. We don't know how to pray as we ought either, because we, left to ourselves, are ungodly, and we don't even know the right things. We don't know properly right from wrong, good from evil, truth from falsehood. And so we ask for things that are bad. We ask for things that are ungodly. We ask for things contrary to God's will. We even do that occasionally as Christians. Think of James and John in Luke chapter 9, verses 54 through 55. When some Samaritans weren't being very hospitable to Jesus and his disciples. And those two disciples said to Jesus, "Jesus, do you want us to call down fire from heaven to burn them up?" And Jesus, I'm sure, kind of looked at them like, "What? You don't know what you're asking for." And basically he gave them the nickname, and it wasn't a really nice nickname, the nickname of the Sons of Thunder. That thunder was later used in a good and godly way, but not at this point. The second thing is this: we don't know the right way to pray. Not if we're left to ourselves. For we do so out of greed and self-centeredness. The same James who wanted to call down fire from heaven later on in James chapter 4, verse 3, told believers, and it's still valid today, it's still part of the Word of God today, that you don't have because you don't ask. And when you do ask, you don't ask rightly, because you're only seeking to fulfill your own lusts. Even Christians mess up and do this sometimes. And secondly, we often pray carelessly and lazily, whereas Jesus has told us to persevere in prayer. In Isaiah chapter 64, verse 7, we read, "There is no one who calls on your name, who stirs himself up to take hold of you, for you have hidden your face from us and have consumed us because of our iniquities." That was the sin of Judah and of Israel back then, of Judah and Jerusalem back then. It is too often the sin of even believers, and certainly of unbelievers. We need a model for prayer, because it is hard, or really, if we're talking about the natural man, it's impossible. So where do we get a model for prayer? Well, as our catechism teaches us, and as we see throughout Scripture, the Bible is the general model for prayer. Scripture directs us what to pray for. Okay, that's the first thing. Scripture directs us what to pray for. There are many things that it shows us to pray about. Many things that we know are in accordance with God's will. Why? Because God flat out says it is. Or else we have approved examples. So, it is entirely appropriate in prayer to confess sin. And so maybe you think of when we read through and meditate on or sing from Psalm 51, particularly in verses 4 and 5. We confess sin that is in us, sin that is a part of us, sin that is died in from the point of conception. A second thing we can be praying for is praying for the good, for the blessing, for the spiritual prospering of other believers, what we call intercession. We follow after Jesus in that. Whoever liveth to make intercession for us, as we read in Hebrews. A fine example of this is Daniel in chapter 9, verses 1 through 3, when he begins praying for the dispersed people of Judah, when he begins praying that God would restore them. So this is something we can do, to be praying one for another, even as Jesus, as our great mediatorial high priest, prays for us. Another thing is this. We can pray in thanksgiving. And a classic place for this is in Philippians chapter 4, verse 6. Be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving. Let your requests be made known to God. Now, sometimes I was just talking about this. I can't remember if it were prayer meeting or if it were here. But we sometimes in our minds kind of confuse praise and thanksgiving. They're both good and godly things, both entirely appropriate in prayer, both really needful in prayer, but they're two different things. Praise is when we speak to God in gratefulness for who he is. We think of his character as he's revealed himself, especially in the scriptures, but perhaps through his creation and even in his image within us. But especially as he reveals his attributes, as he reveals his glory to us through his word, we should praise him. We do this to one another. Men, I hope, if you're married, you tell your wives, you look beautiful, and that it's evident from the heart that you mean it. That's what praise is. Thanks is when we talk to God gratefully about what he has done for us. The one is what he is. The second is what he does. And so again, men, you might say to your wife, thanks for that great meal. Then you can revert to praise. You are always such a great cook. Or you might be even sweeter and say, it just shows what a loving wonderful wife you are that I'm so blessed with. I hope some of you guys aren't thinking that sounds so goopy. Or some of you teenage or older or even younger boys might think that's goopy. That is prayer and, excuse me, that is praise and thanksgiving to your wife. But God deserves it far more. And then also, you can be praying for your own needs. That's asking God, or what is sometimes called petition. And we see that in the same verse here. Don't be worried. I mean, Jesus was talking about that there in Matthew chapter 6, wasn't it? When talking about clothing and talking about food, right? Be anxious or be worried about nothing. What should you do? In everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. So we see these things in different portions of Scripture. In general, the Bible is the model for prayer in knowing what to pray for. Scripture also directs us how to pray. Not just what to pray for, but how to pray. In the book of Hebrews, chapter 10, verse 22, this is probably a fairly familiar voice. Let us draw near with a true heart, in full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled from an evil conscience and our bodies washed with pure water. What does that show us? What's that a model of? Well, it shows us to pray in sincerity. Not just going through words, really meaning it from the heart. Secondly, we must be praying in humility as one of, to revert to the previous sermon, one of God's, one of the Father's, one of Christ's little ones. In Psalm 10, verse 17, we read, Lord, you have heard the desire of the humble. You will prepare their heart. You will cause your ear to hear. We should come humbly. We should come, as James again writes, this time in chapter 1, verse 6, we should come in faith. Let me back up to verse 5. If any of you lacks wisdom, let him ask of God, who gives to all liberally and without reproach or scolding, and it will be given to him. Now verse 6, but let him ask in faith, with no doubting, for he who doubts is like a wave of the sea driven and tossed by the wind. And then lastly, I should not have taken my finger out, but it's a verse, at least the second half I have memorized. We should come in earnestness. Do you know what the word earnestness means? It means to come with real feeling. You really mean it, and you are praying hard. Right? The second half of James chapter 5, verse 16 says that the fervent, effectual prayer of the righteous man availeth much. In other words, children, as you pray with feeling and as you wrestle with God in prayer, it gets a lot done. So here are some things, Old and New Testament, showing us how to pray. Now, these things are models for stuff on the outside. And the Holy Spirit, if you're in Jesus Christ, the Spirit helps you to pray this way and pray for these things on the inside, we might say. Paul talks a little bit about that, kind of in the middle of chapter 8 of his book, his letter to the Romans. In chapter 8, verses 26 and 27, we read that likewise the Spirit also helps in our weaknesses. For we do not know what we should pray for as we ought, but the Spirit himself makes intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. Now he who searches the hearts knows what the mind of the Spirit is, because he makes intercession for the saints according to the will of God. So as you read and you study the Bible in faith, prayerfully, it's a guide to so many things, of course. It is a guide to prayer, all of it. But now we have a special model. Again, our catechism says that the whole Word of God is of use to direct us in prayer. But the special rule of direction is that form of prayer which Christ taught his disciples, commonly called the Lord's Prayer. And again, that's right here in our text, Matthew chapter 6, verses 19 through 23. Now, it may be used as a prayer. It is legitimate to pray this prayer as a prayer. It's entirely fine. It's entirely proper if done properly. Now, what do I mean by that? First of all, you must understand what it's saying and not merely say words. Some people used to learn this in Latin and didn't really know the Latin. They just said the words, and it was of no spiritual good. You must understand what Jesus is telling you to be praying about. Otherwise, it's just the sort of vain babbling that he was talking about in verse 5. This is what I hope we will be learning better about as we go through the catechism questions, starting with the kind of preface there, Our Father, all the way to Amen over the next few questions. The second thing is this: it is profitable to use as a prayer in itself. Oh, I already did this. That if it's sincerely meant, it's just not enough to say it. And there's a difference between saying your prayers and praying. But primarily, it's a model. It is certainly not a required prayer. We don't have to use it as a direct prayer itself. We can use it as a model for prayer. After all, when Jesus prayed, he didn't always use these words. How do we know that? Well, all you got to do is go to John's Gospel, chapter 17. That entire chapter is a prayer by Jesus. It is his high priestly prayer. It's often called that for his church, the night of his betrayal. And Jesus does not use the words here of the Lord's Prayer. Now, it's in line with that prayer, but it is not the exact words of it. Secondly, if you look at the verse right before, excuse me, not the verse, in the little few words right before he starts into the prayer in verse 9 there, he says, in this manner, therefore, pray. In other words, do it like this. He does not say, do it exactly this way. Do it like this. The third thing is this. I didn't make many model cars. I made a lot of model planes and tanks and ships. I couldn't get in any of them. Even if I knew how to pilot an airplane, I couldn't fly one of them. I couldn't sail the ships. I couldn't drive the tanks. All these things would have been really fun, but you can't with a model. You can't turn raw petroleum into gasoline and benzene and kerosene and other derivatives with a model of a refiner. Nope. Models are generally to be patterns. So though it is legitimate, it's entirely proper to use this as a prayer, there is so much more that we should be praying about, that's in line with it and guided by it and by all the Word of God. But it in and of itself is not sufficient for all different situations. There's one last thing I want to say, and that is, it's wicked to misuse this prayer. I talked about how people might use it without any sincerity. People might use it and not even understand what it's meaning. This is wickedness. It is using God's word and taking His name in vain. And so when we pray this prayer, or pray according to this prayer, it must always be done in a way that is proper, that is godly. And as I mentioned here, in sincerity, in humility, in faith, and with earnestness. Moved along by the Spirit, guided by the Word in general, and in particular by this prayer. It is then that this, what we call the Lord's Prayer, will be useful in guiding our prayer, and we shall see more and more the truth of what James said, that the fervent, effectual prayer of the righteous man availeth much. Amen.